Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Tuppett Caverly.
It's December 22nd, 2022. Tonight's program, another in the series of December Demons, is entitled Moral Transgression Demons. As Elizabeth and I said last week, no matter how evil anything seems, every last aspect of it always seems to relate to or pale beside the current died suddenly COVID shot aftermath. Last week, we brought you the first part of a shocking prion damage to the brain possibilities following COVID shots. We will recap and continue that scientific information a little later in the program. Plus, highlight more moral transgressions during this holiday time.
And Lou, we do have to say that our prayers are going out when we're hearing these advanced weather warnings of the bitter chill and possibly blizzards over the United States. And you and I have not forgotten about John L. Casey's book, Cold Sun and Dark Winter, because the lowered number of sunspots began on, I believe, December, maybe even the 25th. It was late in December of 2019. And that 11-year cycle of the lowered minimum sunspots is going to continue to the year 2030. So you and I were speaking here that these temperatures are not typical at all of our time in Maryland here. Decades that we've been here, we remember certain Christmases that we'd put on a very light jacket or no jacket, and we'd go out to the wonderful Tidewater Inn, a very historic inn in which Lou and I were married long ago. And so we would go there, and it would be like a fall day. But we can see that last year was much colder, and this year, so we're not ruling out this idea again that we're going to have to prepare for much colder winters. Now, this is in addition to the chemtrailing and all the manipulating of the ionosphere, all these things that the globalists are doing. This is something that directly relates to the sun, and as we've talked about this before, every 200 years, there's sort of a little ice age. There was the Dalton minimum, and then there was the Maunder minimum. And so the Maunder minimum was in the 1600s, very, very, very cold. And then the Dalton was featuring the year 1816, the year without a summer that Lewis talked about, in which the crops froze in July. There was snow. So we have to be watching this. We'll have to get back to you on this. But as Lou mentioned, tonight our focus is still these December demons and the moral transgression aspect of it. And as Lou is saying now, at the top of the list here is Died Suddenly, the movie from Stu Peters. Pick it up again, Lou.
Thank you, Elizabeth. On Monday, a headline popped up and caught my attention. Is this still another one? Another died suddenly? World-class athlete? Post-COVID shot? Vaccination? In Fox News, December 19th, 2022, World Series champ Tom Browning, dead at 62. Browning was on the Cincinnati Reds 1990 World Series championship team. The Boone County, Kentucky Sheriff's Office responded to a call saying a man was not breathing. The retired pitcher for the Reds was unresponsive on the couch at his home. Resuscitation efforts were unsuccessful, and Mr. Browning was pronounced dead. And Tom is famous because, for one thing, he threw a perfect game in 1988. That's only the 12th in the history of Major League Baseball. Another athlete who's died recently was Colin Glover, a basketball player at Birmingham Southern College. He was just 21. He was found unresponsive on Friday, December 16th. He was transported to a hospital, and there he too was pronounced dead, and the cause of death was unknown. Also, a princess of Thailand, and she could very well be the heir to the throne. That's up to the king of Thailand. She suffered a heart attack or some other heart or lung manifestation of some kind of attack while she was jogging with her pet dogs, and she just collapsed. And she's now on life support.
And didn't you tell me she was only 44?
That's right. She's just 44, apparently in good health before this. So these cases are a continuation of the saga of the late Hank Aaron, who proselytized for the COVID shots and then succumbed to them. Elizabeth?
And, you know, I was thinking again about the effects of Died Suddenly, the movie. There are a lot of people who don't seem to know and still don't want to know. You know, I was calling L.L. Bean to order some nice pajamas for you to replace those 30-plus-year-old L.L. Bean pajamas that you liked and I liked so well in the Dress Stewart pattern. That's your Scottish background. But you finally informed me there was a hole developing, big hole developing, by the buttons. And I thought, gee, I had been watching for this pattern, and suddenly the Dress Stewart pattern was there. So I ordered you a pair. Then I thought later it might be another 20 years. We might not even be here. I'm going to call up L.L. Bean, and I'm going to order another set of those pajamas. So I got an older lady, and I thought she's probably one of the more reasonable types of people. And so at the end of the call, I did my little proselytizing. I said about the shots. If you got a COVID shot, don't get any more. Don't get a booster. They're very dangerous. And I said, top world-class athletes are dropping dead. And she said, don't share that information with me, Elizabeth. Using my name, my first name, she said, I'm not interested, in a very crusty manner. And I had to think of my late mother, Margaret Cuppet. It used to, as we would say, curl her. When she would go to a new doctor, one of these young, freshly scrubbed, eager, would-wanna-be physicians, and he would patronizingly talk to her as Margaret this and Margaret that. She liked to be called Mrs. Cuppet. And if not, a doctor would say, do you mind if I call you Margaret? So this woman on the phone just immediately crustily, you know, called me my first name and said she was not interested. And I said, oh, okay, goodbye. Now, in contrast, I ordered something else in the same week, and there was a young woman. I'm sure that her accent was probably from India. And, Lou, I think now looking back, it's interesting because Bill Gates did a lot of those polio vaccine experiments in India, in which a lot of children died. So a lot more people in India may be aware of the vaccine problems and, yes, and the depopulation agenda. And when I brought it up to her, you know, after my experience with the older woman, I was getting ready for a big blast. But instead, she said, I would never take them. And I thought, oh, good, good, good. I said, good, you're aware. So, yes, here we are. Everything is coming back to these demons. But first, we're going to talk about, I think we're going to talk about the moral transgressions that are part of the December demon soul that are really going after us to kill our souls, to kill Western civilization. And a lot of this seems to be organized and coming out of the Oval Office. Now, as we went to the mic, we saw that our leader is having a wonderful joint conference with Zelensky. Oh, isn't that nice? And we heard we're going to be sending a lot more billions of dollars to support this war. Oh, yes. But we're never too busy to do things like were described by Natural News Friday, December 16th, the news editors. Actually, they picked up an article by Chris Menahan, and this was from informationliberation.com. Natural News. Biden suggests opponents of child sex changes are racist, anti-Semitic, and homophobic. They're all connected. President Joe Biden suggested Tuesday that anyone who criticizes child sex change surgeries is responsible for, quote, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, and transphobia, all of which are, quote, connected. Biden insisted we have to, quote, protect transgender children by giving them, quote, the care they need, that is, sex changes, quote, so they know they are loved, end of quote. Quote, folks, racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, transphobia, they are all connected. Biden made the comments while signing a GOP-backed bill to enshrine gay marriage and interracial marriage into law. Anyone who criticizes surgeons who perform transgender surgeries is responsible for racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, etc., because it's all, quote, connected, says Biden. And that was quoted from Ian Miles Cheong at Still Gray, December 13, 2022. And there's more to this outrageous story. Quote, I believe what affects the movements in America, what affects our attitudes in America, are as much the culture and the arts as anything else, Biden said. That's why he spoke out on gay marriage, quote, apparently a little ahead of time. And Lou, I think they explained in the article that he had talked about this long before he was president. He was merely in the Congress. Quote, it wasn't anything we legislatively did. And again, these are the words of Biden. It was will and grace. Now, that's a TV program, Lou, that you and I never watched.
Yeah.
Because we realized that TV was getting bad. And we have to report, we hoped we could see some of the Hallmark Christmas movies, but we found that there was one, at least one, in which there was a male-to-male romantic relationship. So God says, you can't do it. You know, we can't have a little bit of leavening. We can't have a little bit of rat poison and think that we're still uncompromised Christians. God has been teaching us this for the last decade, hasn't he, Lou?
That's exactly right. He has.
So now, this is Biden saying that will and grace. Isn't that interesting? This propaganda through the arts, through TV, is being used for social engineering. He's admitting it. He said again, it wasn't anything we legislatively did. It was will and grace. It was a social media, literally. That's what changed people's attitudes. That's why I was so certain that the vast majority of people would embrace and rapidly embrace gay marriage, Biden said. Think behind of all that. I bet you 85% of those changes, whether it's in Hollywood or social media, are a consequence of Jewish leaders in the industry. The influence is immense. The influence is immense. And I might add, it is all to the good. Now that attitudes on gay marriage have changed, the goalpost has shifted to normalizing child sex changes and transgenderism. Now, that's the author of the article. That's not Biden saying that. Biden's transgender assistant health secretary, Admiral Rachel Levine, said earlier this year that the White House is working to, quote, empower kids to get puberty blockers and sex change surgeries. Biden Assistant Secretary for Health, Rachel Levine, said again, we need to empower kids to go on puberty blockers and get sex reassignment surgery. Attorney General Merrick Garland has threatened to hold states, quote, accountable if they ban child sex change surgeries. And Biden has used his bully pulpit to declare it, quote, morally wrong to ban the macabre procedures. If you oppose these child sex change surgeries and think children should not be given cross-sex hormones and dangerous puberty blockers, then according to Joe Biden, you are racist, homophobic, transphobic, anti-Semite. It's all connected.
And next up, high-profile people funding moral transgressions. The headline, Walmart's Walton family giving millions to LGBT causes, drag shows for children. This is WorldNet Daily News Services, December 4th, 2022. High-profile institutions like Disney have been under fire by family groups for years for pro-LGBT policies and activism. But there's another powerful force that's now on the radar for many conservative critics. The Walton family and their Walmart Foundation are suddenly getting lots of attention. It's no secret the heirs of Walmart founder Sam Walton have given millions of dollars for LGBTQ-related causes and events in their home state of Arkansas. Walton's daughter, Alice Walton, and grandson, Tom Walton, along with Tom's wife, Olivia, have spearheaded these initiatives. Last year, the Alice Walton Foundation and the Walton Family Foundation established the Arkansas LGBTQ Plus Advancement Fund, a statewide $1 million fund designed to distribute grants of $25,000 and above for Arkansas-based organizations that provide services to the LGBTQ community. And now we have an update on our Corporation Watch. Virgin Atlantic has turned every commercial flight into an LGBT pride parade of cross-dressing queers. This was by Ethan Hoff of Natural News. The aviation industry is about to become a whole lot gayer as England-based Virgin Atlantic launches a brand new, quote, fluid, unquote, uniform policy for the LGBTQ employees. In a corporate announcement, Virgin signaled that male flight attendants and pilots can now wear skirts or dresses if they feel queer or non-binary. Virgin says its aim is to become, quote, the most inclusive airline in the skies. And it lists a related article. Remember when Virgin Atlantic partnered with Apple to implement a COVID-19 vaccine passport system for air travelers? Back to the article. The company, which suffered a massive $916 million loss in 2021, put out the following advertisement as an introduction to what air travelers who choose Virgin can expect during their travels. Virgin's new gender identity policy states that employees can choose whichever Vivienne Westwood-designed uniform that best represents them, no matter their actual gender, and there are only two, male and female, gender identity, no matter their gender identity or gender expression. Virgin is also introducing option, quote, pronoun badges, unquote, for both employees and passengers, as well as an updated ticketing system that allows passengers to choose nonsensical, gender-neutral titles such as MX, which I guess you pronounce mix. Those holding passports with gender-neutral gender markers will also be able to select U or X gender codes on their booking, reports the Post Millennial. During an appearance on GB News, comedian Leo Kirst mocked Virgin for implementing these new policies, which are sure to ostracize a large segment of air travelers. Chris told the host, quote, I just wanted to be handed a gin and tonic. I don't want all this prancing. I don't want to know your pronouns. I don't care what your pronouns are, unquote. Kirst also made a really good point about the ridiculousness of all the pronoun insanity, seeing as how nobody addresses another person directly, using third-party pronouns. Kirst said, your pronouns aren't for you. Why do you think you get to choose your own pronouns? Unquote. The other host then chimed in and pointed out that Virgin's claim that it wants employees and customers to be, quote, addressed by their preferred pronouns, unquote, is nonsensical. Quote, if you address people by their pronouns, you're going to sound pretty patronizing. Does she want a gin and tonic? Unquote. He went on to mock about the stupidity of it all. And he went on to say, you don't address people by their gender pronouns, ever. Naturally, the Virgin ad features mostly black, effeminate males, and not a single straight white man. Chris added during the discourse, quote, I just want the plane to be safe, to fly through the air, and land safely, unquote. Back in 2019, Virgin staged what it described as a queer flight between New York and London. That flight was staffed, quote, entirely by LGBTQ plus pilots and cabin crew, the company said about the discriminatory flight. Quote, the flight will be a true celebration of queer culture 38,000 feet above the Atlantic, a company spokesman explained at the time.
That's enough to give any announcer a little attack of the pronunciation, heebie-jeebies.
Thank you.
I mean, my word.
Thank you. It sure did me. Anyway, the company explained about that and indicated that the flight was also furnished with, quote, onboard DJ, drag queen bingo, Judy Garland sing-along, inter-seat speed dating, and special in-flight entertainment, unquote.
Poor Judy Garland. I wonder what the connection there is, what kind of sick kind of, connection.
Yes, I was wondering that. But I guess they had to have a female singer. They couldn't have a male singer. Anyway, the standard purpose of the cringeworthy queer flight was to, quote, celebrate World Pride 2019, unquote. And the Millennial Post reported, only time will tell whether appealing to a tiny minority by shoving pronouns and gender identities into the faces of a weary British public will be enough to pull the struggling airline out of the hole that it's in, the Post-Millennial reported.
And now, once again, 1 million moms, you might want to check out that website, it's up in arms against another big corporation, Mattel. 1 million moms urge American Girl to pull pro-trans book. The once popular American Girl line of dolls, books, and toys owned by Mattel strikes again with liberal ideology. American Girl, with products designed for girls as young as 3 years old, now introduces young girls to gender dysphoria in its newest book, A Smart Girl's Guide, Body Image, written by one of the company's content development editors, Mel Hammond. A Smart Girl's Guide, Body Image, has a section featuring a transgender flag and an image of a child with a doctor, apparently discussing gender issues. According to the New York Times Post, Hammond's book teaches preteen girls to use puberty blockers without their parents' knowledge. And the author has described her work as helping young girls learn to love themselves. A passage in his controversial book advises, quote, if you haven't gone through puberty yet, the doctor might offer medicine to delay your body's changes, giving you more time to think about your gender identity, end of quote. Hammond's book continues, quote, your gender expression can be feminine, masculine, or somewhere in between, and it might change. Maybe you'll experiment with bright dresses and long feminine hairstyles, or you might try baggy shorts, plaid shirts, and a buzzed haircut. Your gender expression should make you feel at home in your body. The book also provides a list of resources and organizations that children can turn to if they have no adult to trust. This is disgusting. American Girl is encouraging children to go behind their parents' backs with life-altering issues. American Girl is also confusing innocent children by attempting to brainwash them into believing they can be whatever gender they choose. Even with Christmas around the corner, 1 million moms strongly suggest not purchasing American Girl or Mattel products until the company has announced its distribution of A Smart Girl's Guide, Body Image, has been discontinued. Please inform your friends and family as well. Take action. Sign our petition urging American Girl, owned by Mattel, to immediately discontinue its distribution of A Smart Girl's Guide, Body Image. And remember, listeners, this is 1 Million Moms, the website, if you go to sign their petition. Lou and I did sign a petition about Hallmark last year. We're going to have to look into this one, too. Lou?
And a second corporation. Alert from also from 1 Million Moms. Disney announces first official LGBTQ teen crush in the movie Strange World. Alerting all parents, 1 million moms need your help to make sure as many people as possible are aware of Disney pushing the LGBTQ agenda on families, especially children, in the animated movie Strange World that hit theaters on Wednesday, November 23rd. Disney is no longer being discreet, but now Disney has traded its subtlety for intentionality. Strange World is a film about a family of explorers traveling to a new and bizarre land. In one scene, the character Ethan flirts with a boy named Diazo in front of his friends, who tease him in a friendly and warm-hearted way. His father, Searcher Clade, later joins in and embarrasses him in an, quote, over-eager show of acceptance, unquote, according to a scene description by Variety. The scene portrays the son as being very shy in front of his boy crush, and his dad comes in and says, quote, so nice to meet you. My son talks about you all the time, unquote. further embarrassing his son. Obviously, this part of the movie is a nod to inclusivity, along with a blatant attempt by Disney to normalize a same-sex crush. Elizabeth?
Yes, and CBN News, to pick that story up a little further, reported that right after Florida passed its controversial Parental Rights in Education Act in late March, Disney CEO Bob Chapek promised to be, quote, a better ally for the LGBTQ plus community. Likewise, Carrie Burke, president of General Entertainment for Disney, declared that she hoped to see, quote, many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in all genres of Disney entertainment. The Disney that parents knew as children is long gone. Disney has now decided to be politically correct instead of providing family-friendly programming. But Disney should stick to entertaining, not pushing an agenda. Please share this with your friends and family to make sure they are aware of the gay teen romance in Strange World and are not blindsided by it. As moms, we all want to know when Disney is attempting to desensitize our children by normalizing the LGBTQ lifestyle. Take action. I encourage you to join us in telling Walt Disney Animation Studios that we are not buying what they are selling. Sign our pledge and commit to boycotting the new movie Strange World. After you sign the pledge, please share this alert via email and on your social media pages. Help us spread the truth about this Disney film today.
Maybe the apex is the following moral transgression on stage for children. The title, Sick. Drag queen teaches young girl to twerk while shaking his nearly naked butt in front of children at an all-ages drag show. This appeared Friday, December 16th, Natural News, by the news editors. At a, quote, all-ages, unquote, drag show in New York City, white liberal parents proudly took their young children to see a half-naked man sharing his bare butt in their faces. As an overweight man in a thong awkwardly leapt around in a small stage, he somehow gathered a massive crowd, many of whom were children. And I'll just interject here. This is Lou speaking. There were some pictures here, but I don't think you want to see them. They were pretty repulsive. And this article was by Amber Crawford, republished from the website 100%fedup.com. There are many things that are baffling about this event, the first of which is why a parent would think this is appropriate to bring a child to. When did a man without pants, one who's shaking his rear end in your face, become a family-friendly activity? Second, what about a man in heels and a thong? I should say it this way. What about a man in heels and a thong so attractive to these left-wing parents, or anyone for that matter? It can't be argued that this is a legitimate performance of art because, as can be seen in the video, the only thing the drag queen does is shake his butt and jump around. No skill was displayed that should have in any way garnered applause or attention. The popular Twitter account, Libs of TikTok, posted a video from the event. While the majority of responses expressed outrage and horror, some liberal Twitter users shockingly tried to downplay and justify the situation, arguing that nothing was wrong with the event.
And Tom Chapman, a liberal news editor and, quote, freelance film writer, was a staunch defender of the event, making fun of the, quote, far right for being disturbed by a man parading around half-naked in front of children. One of his tweets, which he quickly deleted after receiving major backlash from others, suggested that the only way you could find this disturbing is if you were an overdramatic far right-winger. Chapman wrote, "The far right be like," accompanied by a meme caption, "Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?" Another liberal account replied to the Libs of TikTok video, sarcastically saying, "Oh no, not butts," to which Chapman responded, "Careful, I hear everyone has one these days." Again, the liberal writer tried to, for whatever reason, pretend like the critics of this event are being irrational. All the other liberals trying to defend the contents of the video clip seem to be making the point of how inappropriate the entire thing was, simultaneously excusing pedophilic grooming behavior. Somehow people have been so brainwashed into the idea that drag shows are important for young children to watch that they are able to justify bringing their kids to events such as these ones. Read more at 100%fedup.com.
Now, from our Moral Transgression Demons Secrets Revealed section, son of Paul Pelosi's attacker speaks out, says his father might have been a sex slave. Thursday, December 15th, by Ethan Huff, Natural News. The alleged attacker of Paul Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's husband, suffered a lifetime of abuse, says his 19-year-old son, who is skeptical about media and law enforcement claims that his father even did the crime they are saying he did. Nebos Vaud, nicknamed Sky Gonzalez, the son of David DePape, told the United Kingdom's Daily Mail Online that his father, quote, isn't an evil person, unquote, and, quote, did the best he could as a father. He went on to explain, there's almost no person on this planet that has gone through so much suffering. If you look into his eyes, you can see he's such a sad person. But he isn't a danger to society. I don't even know if he even attacked Mr. Pelosi, unquote. As was pointed out by Elon Musk, the new head of Twitter, DePape may have even been, quote, some sort of sex slave, unquote, which creates more questions as to what his involvement was with Pelosi. In a related article, DePape is technically an illegal alien, so maybe he was just trying to find sanctuary at the Pelosi residence since the left-wing couple supports open borders. Back to the article, why would DePape have attacked Pelosi with such precision unless they knew each other? On October 28th, DePape allegedly tried to murder Pelosi after breaking into the $8 million estate and assaulting him with a deadly weapon. He recently appeared in court in San Francisco for an arraignment on state charges. According to Gonzalez, DePape told him and his 17-year-old brother, Daniel, that DePape's parents pawned him off on his grandparents, who were physically abusive to him. He would often escape to swim in the ocean until the day was over in order to avoid the worst of it. Gonzalez further revealed, quote, he often told us he was raised in an abusive home and would be physically abused by his grandparents, referring to his father's sordid past. When DePape was just a toddler, his grandmother apparently also, quote, dumped a pot of boiling water on him, according to Gonzalez. Gonzalez went on to say, a piece of his clothing melted into his flesh and scarred him for life, unquote. While Gonzalez says he feels bad for Pelosi, he emphasized the fact that despite what media and law enforcement sources are claiming, quote, we don't know what happened. I don't know whether or not my father did what he's been accused of. So far, what we know doesn't make any sense, unquote. As a result of all he endured, DePape has found it difficult to make friends. According to his son, he is a loner. However, he is not a killer, according to Gonzalez. Gonzalez said, that's not the type of person he is. I am surprised about the whole thing. There is still a lot of info that hasn't been given to the public. I have no clue what happened or how it happened. There are more questions than answers right now. Do we even know what really happened? Unquote. What Gonzalez wants to know is how his father even got into the Pelosi residence in the first place. He said, quote, for all we know, he was some sort of sex slave, the implication being that Pelosi is some kind of abusive pervert. And Gonzalez said, quote, I mean, how did David get into the house? Does anyone really know what happened there? Unquote. And according to Gonzalez, there likely was not a political motivation, since his father does not, quote, subscribe to either political party, Democrat or Republican. The two parties, DePape told his son, are just covers and colors. We may never know the truth here, but it seems obvious that Pelosi was not just randomly attacked by a stranger. What his relationship is and was with DePape deserves a full investigation.
And as Lou and I have realized earlier, almost every December demon leads back to the abominable bioweapon COVID clot shot And, you know, here the situation in our local newspaper, we saw for December 18th, there was an obituary for Mr. Randolph, and the last name will be excluded. Randolph so-and-so passed away unexpectedly on Monday, December 12, 2022, at the age of 76. And it goes on to tell how Randolph had entered the Navy and rose to the rank of first lieutenant while serving for 3 years. And after the Navy, Randolph graduated with an MRNA from the University of Virginia School of Business there. And it talked about him a little bit more, that he enjoyed many things in life. He loved boating, music, concerts, sports, especially the Yankees, Bud Light, golf, making plans. Yes, he loved planning for himself and others, even if they didn't ask for it. His favorite words of advice were, if you fail to plan, plan to fail. We find that very sadly ironic, because perhaps he didn't plan to be killed and die suddenly at the age of 76. In that same newspaper, there was another headline, and of course this will ensure that there will be more Randolph in the future if the gaslighting goes on about the people telling the real truth. Sue Peters in the movie, the blockbuster movie, died suddenly. But here's the headline. Pfizer receives $1.96 billion COVID-19 medication order from the Pentagon. Oh, yes, Lou, I told you every institution in society was going bad, had gone bad, and that certainly makes the governmental agencies at the top of the list. So just a little bit from this, the Pentagon has made a big $1.96 billion, that's not millions, listener, order from Pfizer Incorporated for its COVID oral medication, Paxlovid. That is according to a Defense Department procurement announcement, December 13th. The U.S. Army made the order following up on a previous $4.85 billion order for Pfizer's COVID medication in September and a $442 million order for the therapeutic in January. That brings the Pentagon's tab for the Pfizer coronavirus medication to $7.25 billion. Dollars, according to procurement records. In a statement, Pfizer said, it reached a deal with the U.S. government for the purchase of an additional 3.7 million treatment courses of Paxlovid. The purchase supplements the $20 million treatment courses previously contracted by and already delivered to the U.S. government. I think we have enough there to really get the picture. But when we think about it, it's not just the money in this gruesome demon of December. It's the murder. It's the transgression, the murder of the tiny, the helpless. And here, LifeSite News, the headline, December 16, 2022, by Emily Mangia-Racino. Baby dies of large blood clot after doctor ignores parents' request for unvaxxed transfusion. Cornelia Hertzler said doctors discovered a blood clot in her infant son within a few hours after a transfusion of blood from a general blood bank. Lou, this is a disgrace. We've heard Dr. Jane Ruby talk about this and lament that the Red Cross is doing nothing about this. We're having these people shedding the spike protein. These people are giving blood, and what's happening now? We're seeing it. Spokane, Washington. A baby boy in Washington State died of a large blood clot after a hospital gave him a blood transfusion from a general stockpile instead of from an unvaccinated donor, as his parents requested. Soon after baby Alexander was born on January 3, 2022, his parents, Cornelia Hertzler and Ron Bly, discovered not only that his esophagus and trachea were abnormally connected, but he had a heart condition. double outlet right ventricle, in which oxygenated and deoxygenated blood are mixed, which required surgery for long-term survival. In order to undergo neonatal heart surgery, Alexander was airlifted to Providence Sacred Heart Medical Center in Spokane, Washington, a Catholic hospital, as confirmed to LifeSite News, where his parents made clear to the hospital that they did not want any blood transfusions from the blood bank because they were, quote, worried about blood from vaccinated donors causing blood clots. Bly explained to Louisa Clary of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation on Thursday that their caution was provoked at least in part by the death of a friend who was in her 60s and was very healthy, but who had a heart attack 3 days after getting the Moderna shot. After repeatedly telling the parents that using unvaccinated blood from a directed donor would be very difficult and, quote, very expensive, the hospital finally conceded the day before Alexander's first operation, quote, that all the family needed to do was fill out a few forms to accept and utilize blood from specific donors, reported Brian Wilkins, editor-in-chief of the COVID blog. Turns out the entire process was relatively easy and inexpensive, said Hertzler. However, as Bly pointed out to Clary, the hospital still kept delaying and delaying on providing the paperwork to get directed donor blood. Thus, the paperwork was not processed in time for the parents to use the unvaccinated blood for a transfusion by the time of Alexander's second operation. While the surgery itself did not require blood, Dr. Elaine Beadle determined that Alexander needed a blood transfusion the next day due to low hemoglobin levels. Instead of waiting a few more days for the blood we had donated to be fully processed and available, the doctor used blood from a general blood bank for the transfusion, Bly told Clary. Wilkins has pointed out that Washington had a 70% fully vaccinated population by February 1st, 2022, with 79% receiving at least one injection. And so, quote, there was a near 80% chance Alexander got vaxxed blood. The doctor found the blood clot within a few hours after he got the transfusion, Hertzler told Clary on Thursday. Hertzler said that while previously the doctors had told him that blood clots are very rare in a case like Alexander's, after he got a blood clot, they said, well, this happens, but it's something a blood thinner can fix. And the blood thinners, they had him on the highest dose they could give an infant, and it did nothing. The clot just kept growing really fast, she went on. Hertzler believes that if the clot had been normal, then blood thinners would have helped dissolve it. She said that given our understanding of the findings of abnormal clots in a vax deceased, we know that it's not a normal blood clot.
Bly explained in a fundraiser for Alexander that the clot grew to be enormous, and, quote, he eventually stretched from his left knee all the way to his heart, unquote. A bacterial infection of MRSA colonized, and this is in quotes, colonized the blood clot, and no amount of medication or antibiotics could shrink the clot or remove the infection, unquote. Baby Alex died 12 days after surgery on February 17, 2022. He was buried in Walla Walla, Washington, after a Russian Orthodox funeral, Wilkins shared. Bly later added on Alexander's fundraising page that his wife contacted Sacred Heart Children's Hospital, and that the hospital, quote, claimed they can find no record of our son, unquote. Hertzler told Clary she had emailed the records team at the hospital and was sent a form to fill out and asked to submit her ID and any name that Alexander might be listed under. She said, quote, I sent my last name, his last name, like his last name, like his legal name, and she tried every single name and couldn't pull anything up and said, I can't find any record of him being in our system, unquote. LifeSite News contacted Providence Sacred Heart Medical Center on Thursday seeking information.
You almost said murder center, Lou.
Well, that would have fit, wouldn't
it? Yeah, crime and cover-up. Go ahead.
Yeah, LifeSite News contacted the hospital seeking information to confirm a few facts on a story about a baby born earlier this year at the hospital. The staffer said, I have no information regarding that, and this conversation is terminated, unquote. Herzl told Clary that Alexander has an honorary birth certificate because of the long delays in obtaining his official birth certificate at his birth hospital, which he said was due to his staff absence. New Zealand's High Court has recently taken temporary guardianship of a four-month-old baby after his parents remained firm in demanding that only blood not tainted by the COVID-19 vaccine be used during surgery to repair their son's heart defect.
So here again, we see the state becoming the parents. You're losing your rights. Pay attention, listeners of the Divided Kingdom. And we do thank many of you for helping us during this year. And we pray that Jesus Christ's blessings will be on each and every one of you, precious listeners. And we must move now quickly to the recap of this very important information from Epoch Times. We pronounce it Epoch Times. We hear others say Epoch Times. The dictionary says Epoch Times. And this was by Health One Equals One and Marina Zhang. Researchers suspect new variants of rapidly progressing brain degenerating diseases from COVID-19 vaccines. Just recap a little bit from the beginning. Everything changed in June 2021 for 53-year-old Douglas Howie in Colorado. After he received the second dose of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, the 6'4" paraplegic man, and the article goes on to say that he became paraplegic after, I believe it was a truck accident, and he once weighed 262 pounds, but he lost over 100 pounds after the sudden onset of Lou Gehrig's disease, and that's an incurable, fatal neurodegenerative disease that kills a person's motor neurons. So he started developing these symptoms, guess when, listeners? 1 month after the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. And his family thinks that his sudden sickness a month later and a dramatic weight loss within weeks was just too much of a coincidence. They talked in the article about Linda Howie, Douglas's mother, heard a podcast by Dell Bigtree where Dr. Stephanie Seneff, a senior researcher from MIT at the Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, talked about her research on possible links between neurodegenerative diseases and the COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. And they went on to say, their listeners, that once patients are diagnosed with ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, they normally only have a life expectancy of 2 to 5 years. And mostly the disease affects men, and the age of onset is usually between the ages of 55 to 75. And they went on to say, Douglas is younger than this, and his illness has progressed much faster than most. He has already entered the late stage of the disease and is experiencing breathing difficulties, although he has only been sick for 1 year. And, you know, this article comes July 12, 2022. Lou, he might be dead by now.
Yes, that's true.
We don't know. We haven't checked. Linda recalled that Douglas's fever began in June, around a month after he received his second Moderna COVID-19 vaccine dose on May 21, 2021. He experienced high fever and was bedridden for a month.
Yes, and his father passed away in 2011 after a 25-year battle with a brain degenerative disease called frontotemporal dementia, FTD. Has a genetic component. And within the last week or so of life, Douglas's father began to experience ALS symptoms. Though Douglas also has the FTD gene, he was not expecting any significant progression for the next 20 years. However, after Douglas recovered from his month-long fever, he began to notice constant fatigue and weakness in his grip strength. Within 6 weeks of falling ill, he lost 40 pounds and his weight only continued to decline as his appetite deteriorated. 5 months later, Douglas was too weak to handle silverware properly and needed to feed himself with both hands. He's been a paraplegic since he was hit by a truck in 2012. As a result of that accident, he developed strong upper arms that he used to hoist himself up from bed and to propel himself around in a manual wheelchair. His ALS disease spread quickly to the motor neurons in his arms so that by January 2022, just 7 months after he fell sick, Douglas required a bed, hoister, and an automatic wheelchair, which he now has much difficulty using. Gone are his days of gardening, traveling, etc. Caregivers that used to help around the house for only a few hours are now there around the clock. every day, taking care of him. He's also developed a cough and has trouble speaking. A test in February 2022 showed that he had lost much of his functional lung capacity and was only using 40% of his diaphragm. And it goes on to say much more than that. We'll jump down now to this Dr. Stephanie Seneff. And many others have been suspicious of the actual safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 variant. It had mentioned that Douglas's main symptoms got much worse after the vaccination, as Elizabeth said. And Dr. Stephanie Seneff says that she's been suspicious for a long time about the actual safety and efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccines from the moment they started to be administered to the population. She said to have almost 100% success rate with a few months of testing, it just seems completely reckless to me, she said on the call with the Epoch Times. In 2021, months after the rollout of the mRNA Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, Seneff published a peer-reviewed paper with Dr. Greg Nye. In the study, she and Nye declared that a vaccine that produced the spike protein of the SARS-CoV-2 virus could be a health concern, as the spike protein has a prion region that is able to interact with proteins in human cells.
Prions are common proteins that naturally exist in the human brain. However, in the case of prion diseases, the prion will come into contact with a misfolded pathogenic prion, and just like a set of dominoes, the single contact will cause all other normal prions to become pathogenic, slowly killing the individual. Awful as it sounds, it generally is a slow kill, often taking decades after the first exposure for symptoms to appear. And examples of prion diseases include CJD, and that's Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, an incurable and fatal disease. And recent studies also show other neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS have prion-like features with protein misfolding and clumping in the brain, which kills neurons. And some studies also suggest these diseases may also be prion disease. Seneff and her colleagues expressed concern that an mRNA or DNA vaccine may serve as a trigger to cause prion or prion-like diseases, and that we may see a spike in such diseases in the coming years. In their rigorously peer-reviewed study, Seneff and her colleagues speculated that the vaccine may cause prion misfolding, causing damage to the brain in the forms of these diseases. And the mRNA and DNA vaccines carry instructions for making the spike protein, and that these may go into cells. Once cells receive these instructions, they start making spike protein. Cells then stick these spike proteins on their cellular surface, and when immune cells recognize the proteins as foreign, an immune response is triggered. However, mistakes can occur during the process of translating RNA or DNA into protein. Seneff speculated that errors could also happen for the spike protein, causing misfolding. If misfolding also happens in the prion region, it may be able to interact with human prions and trigger prion disease, such as CJD or prion-like disease. However, compared to the current CJD, Parkinson's, and the other neurodegenerative diseases, Seneff said that disease, if caused by the vaccine, would most likely progress faster. Since the vaccine hijacks cellular processes to make more foreign proteins than in a natural infection, there would be greater opportunities for a misfolding.
Seneff said, quote, "We suggested that you might not see anything for a year, or even 5 years, or a decade. It would take a long time for the symptoms to appear. We were predicting that we would see an increase in the rate of Parkinson's and other diseases, and that would happen in younger people in the coming years." Soon after Seneff appeared on Fox News, highlighting her concerns, her inbox was immediately flooded with emails from individuals who believe that they themselves or their loved ones were affected by prion disease or prion-like diseases because of the vaccine. Some saw a worsening of already present neurodegenerative symptoms. Some developed a neurodegenerative disease just weeks or months after vaccination. A new variant of prion and prion-like diseases? The sudden influx of people contacting her suggested to Seneff that the vaccine may have accelerated the process even faster than she expected. Excuse me. Quote, "It's possibly a new variant of brain degenerating disease because it is sufficiently different from anything we've seen before," she said. "Neurodegenerative diseases such as CJD, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and ALS all take many years for symptoms to manifest. Seneff's understanding of prion and prion-like disease is that individuals need first to be exposed to a protein that triggers misfolding of the body's prions, which then build up for years before showing any symptoms. She said there's a certain point at which it starts just to show symptoms, but it takes a whole process beforehand. You can have evidence of misfolding amyloid beta, a protein involved in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease, in the spleen, and even in the brain before you have any symptoms. It's a slow disease, but it's a progressive disease," she said. Other research studies are also suggesting a possible link between prion and prion-like diseases and the COVID-19 vaccine. Seneff's friend and Nobel laureate, the late Dr. Luc Montagnier, co-authored a preprint study on 26 patients that developed CJD and died after receiving the vaccine. The majority of the cases occurred within 11.38 days after vaccination, with deaths occurring at around 4.76 months.
The authors were fairly confident that the cases were related to the vaccine. Dr. Jean-Claude Perez, the study's corresponding author, said that Luc Montagnier feared during the initial release of the vaccine that, quote, the new form of CJD would affect the millions of adolescents or children vaccinated with COVID-19. Quote, "All this confirms the radically different nature of this new form of CJD, whereas the classic form requires several decades," the researchers wrote. Other studies on worsening of Parkinson's or similar diseases also surfaced, with some researchers pondering the links between the two events. The hidden process is happening faster with people who are getting the vaccine, such that they'll get the Parkinson's disease and other related diseases sooner than they would have gotten it without the vaccine, Seneff said. And why so toxic? Seneff told the Epoch Times that the mRNA technology is why, this may be why we are seeing the greater instances of reported adverse effects than from all previous vaccines. She said she was concerned the moment she heard the term warp speed, the operation between the Department of Health and vaccine manufacturers to accelerate the vaccine production process, and started studying mRNA technology. Her immediate verdict was, "I was not going to get it. There was no way I was going to let someone inject it into my arm." Studies have shown that the spike protein on the COVID-19 virus is toxic. Therefore, the mRNA and DNA vaccines that force a person's cells to make more toxic proteins are very likely to cause damage. Though many media platforms have stated that the spike proteins produced by the vaccines are harmless. Seneff's study focused on the mRNA vaccines. The coronavirus is very good at adapting, which is why they never were able to develop a vaccine in the past. And she could not understand how the technology suddenly became so skilled, was able to do something they could not do before. We'll have a little bit more to have this conclusion next time. Good night.